Hello, and welcome to Distillations, weekly extracts from the past, present, and future of chemistry. I'm Robert Hicks. Each week, we bring you stories on all things chemical, from carbon black to compost. In this week's show, we're talking about the environmental costs of chemistry and how to keep it sustainable. We'll examine a new regulatory program in the European Union and learn about a company that makes cleaning green. That's all coming up on today's episode of Distillations. Tuesday, April 22nd, was Earth Day. The annual Earth Day celebration is by far the most visible manifestation of the environmental movement, a day when hundreds of millions of people around the world come together in communities large and small to teach, protest, and advocate for environmental justice and reform. But while Earth Day comes only once a year, environmental concerns are here with us to stay. And while green products have become increasingly popular with consumers, some critics have questioned whether a message of individual responsibility to reduce, reuse, and recycle is really enough. In today's show, we're taking a look at the difference between individual responsibility and systematic change when it comes to impacting the environment. Audra Wolf starts us off with fluorine, the element of the week.
Sitting up in the right-hand corner of the periodic table, fluorine might be one of the most highly used and highly controversial chemicals out there. This pale yellow gas is the most electronegative of all known elements and has a very small atomic radius. This combination makes fluorine highly reactive, even in situations where chemical reactions wouldn't be expected. One of the most familiar uses of fluorine is as a weapon against tooth decay. It's in many toothpaste, dentists scrub it into our teeth, and most municipal water suppliers add it to our tap water. This has created years of controversy, partly because the public has little choice about how much fluorine they take in, and partly because of the unknown long-term health effects of the substance. Peer-reviewed scientific articles have found a connection between high levels of fluoride consumption with bone fracture, thyroid problems, and, ironically, teeth disfiguration. Critics also point out that the fluoride used in water is not the fluoride salts found in toothpaste, but rather comes from silicofluorides, which are industrial byproducts from the fertilizer manufacturing process. Because it's so highly reactive, fluorine has been used in the construction of a host of other novel compounds, from refrigerants and propellants, like chlorofluorocarbons, or CFCs, to polytetrafluoroethylene, the key component in Teflon, each of which bring their own environmental and health complications. And that's it for the Element of the Week. I'm Audra Wolf.
The European Union's REACH regulation is an unprecedented attempt to quantify the possible long-term effects of thousands of chemicals. And although the U.S. government lobbied heavily against it, it's clear that American companies will have to comply in order to continue doing business in the global marketplace. For the chemical industry, it's a radical change. Jory Lewis reports.
For over 30 years, toxicologist Frank Meyer worked in Detroit in the Health and Safety Department of the United Auto Workers Union. He says folks in the union were always concerned about the workers' day-to-day exposure to chemicals.
There's large numbers of people exposed to a series of chemicals at levels where we're virtually certain, if not completely certain, that adverse health effects are occurring.
Meyer says chemicals and paint solvents and fumes from metalworking and tire making are especially problematic. His department sees repeated cases of cancer and respiratory disease in auto workers with long-term exposure to those substances. And even though federal standards are supposed to ensure the well-being of workers, people are still getting sick. Meyer says that's because there's a lot we don't know about the long-term health effects of many chemicals.
There's various estimates of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of chemicals in commerce and full data sets on very few of them.
Soon that will change, thanks to a sweeping new European Union environmental law. It's called REACH. That stands for Registration, Evaluation, and Authorization of Chemicals. Many of the chemicals in use now were developed before modern environmental regulations were put in place. The untested substances were allowed to stay on the market unless the government could prove they were harmful. But REACH changes that. It will require manufacturers to register and test tens of thousands of substances for safety to keep them on the market. And this represents a kind of shift in how we think about environmental regulation, says Dale Jamieson, the director of the Environmental Studies Program at New York University.
Historically, especially in the United States, we've been concerned in much of our environmental legislation with how to clean up pollution once we have it. The focus on pollution prevention is to try to not pollute so much at the beginning.
Of course, that's easier said than done. Toxic substances have been used for generations by people who had little or no prior knowledge of their effects. After all, there was no regulation of radioactive substances when Marie Curie was killing herself from exposure to polonium. Our regulatory bodies evolved over time. In response to great tragedy or consumer worry, they created moral imperatives from a groundswell of public concern, says Jameson.
With the environment in general, it's very difficult to motivate people if people don't really see it as a moral challenge. And I think it's important to recognize that in a well-functioning society, seeing something as a moral requirement, it empowers, it allows, it enables governments to act and to regulate.
And that's often what needs to happen to change the status quo, he says. These days, the U.S. is lagging when it comes to the environment, and our European neighbors are leaving us behind in a blaze of green glory, especially with laws like REACH.
Even though this is a European Union regulation, this has global implications.
That's Joseph Chang, editor of the trade publication ISIS Chemical Business. He says even though many in the international chemical business community see REACH as an expensive and time-consuming regulatory burden, they also know that they just have to deal with it.
Even a lot of U.S. companies, Asian companies, if they want to do business in the European Union, they have to go through this registration process.
Chang says that's the cost of doing business globally. And while the EU may be at the forefront of these types of regulations, other countries are catching up.
The REACH regulations, they're spreading to other countries. So even the U.S. is looking at some of those types of regulations so they can enact similar legislation that where chemical companies will have to register. So everyone's got to get familiar with this.
Chang notes that in a marketplace full of people worried about chemical safety, the REACH regulation burden could turn out to be a competitive marketing advantage for companies that comply. After having run the REACH gauntlet of testing and information gathering, they can tell their customers that they are more prepared for any risks ahead. For Distillations, I'm Jory Lewis.
Jory Lewis is a freelance reporter based in Brooklyn, New York. You can find links related to the REACH process on our website, distillations.chemheritage.org. You're listening to Distillations. I'm Robert Hicks. While so many of our environmental choices are determined for us by governmental regulations, there is at least one place where we can make a definite choice, our kitchen cabinets. In today's segment, Chemistry in Your Cupboard, CHF's Jody Roberts spoke with John Mullins, president and CEO of Sun and Earth Products, a company that produces non-toxic cleaning supplies.
Thank you, John, for being with us. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about Sun and Earth.
Well, Sun and Earth has a 20-year history, and it's been quite a roller coaster ride. All of our formulations incorporate entirely oleo-based ingredients, so it's naturally derived plant-based sources blended with a proprietary orange oil that gives our products kind of its trademark citrus scent.
Can you tell us a little bit about the chemistry behind the oleo-based plant-based ingredients that you use?
Well, primarily in your main detergents like laundry detergent and dish liquid, the source of the bulk of the detergency is from something called a surfactant. And those have traditionally been produced out of petroleum-derived ingredients. Over the course of the last several years, there have been tremendous improvements in the technology for sourcing greener and oleo or plant-based sources. So they're renewable resources. It's not depleting our supply of oil that traditional surfactants have been derived from. We have spent endless hours in R&D trying to develop the best performing products. And it's been a focus by major raw material producers to develop green surfactants and chemicals that are used in these products from resources that are renewable. It's been a push by major companies like Cognis and Stepan and so forth over the course of many years. Most of these come out of a source of coconut, palm kernel oil, corn-derived ingredients that they derive these oils from that they're able to produce surfactants out of.
So what's next for you guys?
We're going to continue to source out the best performing ingredients with the best ecological benefits. So in addition to constantly striving for the best ingredients for that purpose, we're going to identify new ways to bring it to market, new products to bring to market, etc. So we're going to attack it from all angles.
Jody Roberts is Program Manager for Environmental History and Policy at CHF's Center for Contemporary History and Policy. He spoke with John Mullins, President and CEO of Sun and Earth Products, from their headquarters just outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And that's it for this week's episode of Distillations. Today's quotation comes from the British essayist Francis Bacon's famous philosophical tract, The New Organon. Now, the empire of man over things depends wholly on the arts and sciences, for we cannot command nature except by obeying her. Distillations is a presentation of the Chemical Heritage Foundation and is made possible by the generous support of the Richard Lounsbery Foundation. Mia Lobel is our senior producer. Our assistant producer is Victoria Indiviro, and our executive producer is Audra Wolf. Our theme music is composed and performed by Dave Kaufman. Additional music provided from the PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com. Please tell us what you think about our program and send suggestions for future shows to distillations@chemheritage.org. Until next time, I'm Robert Hicks.